Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, it's good to be back with you again tonight.
Yeah, always good to be here on Sunday nights. And last Sunday, I thought we had quite a exciting show about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit falling on the disciples who were praying in the upper room. And
I can't believe it's a week's gone.
I know. It's amazing. The time goes faster and faster. And it seems like 10 minutes ago that the last show ended. But we talked about the background of Pentecost, how it was an Old Testament feast. It was one of the great feasts of the Lord. We talked about how Jesus had told those people, those guys, not to leave the city until the Spirit fell on them, the promise of the Father. Wait in the city, because the word had to go forth from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they spent 9 days or so in that upper room, 120 of them, praying in one accord, no divisions. Nobody was whining or grumbling or complaining. Mm-hmm. And everybody was praying. And when the Spirit falls, there's this amazing demonstration of the power, because they hear a rushing wind, they see fire, the people outside hear the fire. There were thousands of people in the city because Pentecost at Shavuot is one of the pilgrimage feasts.
Yeah.
And a separate tongue of fire falls on each of the people there, each getting gifts from the Spirit that are going to be used in their particular ministry. They're going to be used in the proclamation of the kingdom and the proclamation of the word. And Peter, our friend Peter, who actually kind of likes me now. Anyway, we're going to have a talk eventually.
Yeah.
But anyway, he then is so empowered by this anointing by the Holy Spirit that he does this awesome proclamation. He does a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should read that again, Stephen.
Yeah.
Because it's so powerful. And then we'll get to what happens to the people that are listening to it.
Okay, so we'll pick right up where we left off last week. In Acts chapter 2, this is verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in those last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls upon the name of the Lord. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says in him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence."
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
He says a lot.
Yeah. Now, this is our friend Peter. I remember
Peter. This is the same guy?
Same guy. You don't have to look back too far in each of the Gospels to see, you know, he was always saying stuff. He was always shooting his mouth off. He was always being a smart aleck. And he was always like, oh, man, you don't have to worry about me. And now he's a different guy.
This is the same guy that...
This is the same
the
guy.
The servant girl said, hey, aren't you a Galilean?
Yes. Yes.
Same
he
guy.
He got scared.
Wow.
By a servant girl. He denied the Lord three times after saying, I'll go with you. I'll die with you. These other guys, you can't count on these other guys, but me, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was gone. And now he has been in the upper room hiding.
Yes.
The night, you know, the night that Jesus came through the doors and was standing there, these guys were all hiding
mm-hmm.
because they thought the leaders were going to come for them next.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's in the room. He's hiding. He didn't even want to go out. This is the same guy who now, and, you know, we talked about last week when you speak under the inspiration of the Spirit, and I used the example of Hannah and Mary when the Holy Spirit falls on them and they say these beautiful songs, these beautiful prayers, the Song of Hannah and the Magnificat. It's not how they normally talk. This is not how Peter used to talk. This is not Peter talking.
No.
This is an amazing presentation of who the Messiah was, what he did, how it impacted them, and then correlates it to what you see that just happened here. Now, what just happened here was a pretty amazing display. It was noisy. It was visual. It was an exciting thing. Rushing wind, fire, lots of noise. What you see here was prophesied by the prophet Joel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's Peter is doing this teaching using a whole bunch of different sources, proclaiming what the Messiah was, who the Messiah was, what he had done, how it impacted these people, how this was prophesied by the prophet Joel, what had just happened here, that the Spirit's being poured out now on all flesh, and still in the year 2013 is being poured out
mm-hmm.
on all flesh. And he talks about how the Messiah was killed, was sacrificed, was crucified for their salvation, but death couldn't hold him. Mm-hmm. He rose from the dead as the ultimate sign that sacrifice was accepted and was true. And that David, now when Peter talks about David, he's talking to people who know David. Like, we don't know David like those people knew David.
Right.
And he says, you know, David says, the Lord's ever before me. And he goes, well, you know what? David died and his tomb is right here.
Right.
And if you've been to Jerusalem, been to the upper room, David's tomb is literally a stone's throw from there.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, here we got David's tomb. You know, whatever's left of David physically is still in there.
Exactly.
but Jesus isn't in his not in his tomb.
Right.
His body's in heaven now. And this is the gospel. You guys killed him. He came to save you.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are impacted by the Spirit are the ones that then say, oh, what must we do now?
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, he was the Messiah. Maybe some of them in the crowd were shouting, crucify him.
Yeah.
Crucify him. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Maybe some of them were saying, oh, get out of here to him. You know, what do you know? Mm-hmm. You're not a Pharisee. You're not any kind of authority. Just get out of here. Maybe some of those guys were there.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they realize, oh, that was the Messiah. And we missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After, you know, what you're referring to is in chapter 2, verse 29 through the end of chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter just lays it out for them.
Yeah.
This was the Messiah. You put him to death.
Yeah.
And he's doing all this. I think we should note, he's doing all this without the help of a laptop or an iPad or a downloadable iPad, you know, an app on his cell phone.
Or a Bible he could hold.
Or a Bible he can hold. He didn't have any tracks.
Right.
He did this all by the Spirit.
Yeah. Didn't have a bunch of scrolls with him.
He didn't have the scrolls out, no.
Didn't prepare this ahead of time.
Didn't sit there and write it out. the Spirit impelled him to speak what those people needed to hear.
Yes.
And, you know, as believers and as we evangelize, we have to trust that the Spirit's going to give us what we need to speak to somebody and what they need to hear.
Yes.
Because God knows what that person needs, and God knows the words that he will give us will open their heart.
Yes.
And it's all by him. It's not by us.
Exactly.
We're just a vessel.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Peter says to them really cuts to the heart. He speaks the truth to them. And they are, I mean, they are just pierced to the heart.
Exactly.
And they repent. And they come to believe. Mm-hmm. And they're brought into the kingdom.
What are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? And Peter says, repent and believe.
This is like when you realize, when you recognize your sinfulness and your kind of pathetic state, and you think to yourself, well, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
When you realize, you know, Paul talks in Galatians about how the law is a schoolmaster that drives you to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't, what am I going to do? I can't keep these laws. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Then Peter stands up, you repent and be baptized. And this is a powerful evangelization, and you know, if you think something that I thought about this, and I think it's in John 14, where Jesus says, "Greater things than these you're going to do. Greater things than the things I did you're going to do." You know, Jesus didn't speak in tongues.
Right.
Jesus didn't sit there teaching in Aramaic or in Hebrew, and Roman soldiers and Greeks and foreigners come running over going, wow, we understood everything you said.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. But now under the power of the Spirit, Peter's already doing something more than Jesus did.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
And actually was. He was reaching people that couldn't even understand what a Galilean would be saying.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, what are we going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Because of this powerful outpouring, the evangelization that comes out of him is powerful.
Yeah.
And this was a guy, like, you know, he quotes scripture verses. He talks about David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we even know what time it happened, at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So this has been our drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Now, it, you know, at 5 to 9, Peter couldn't have done this.
Exactly.
At 5 after 9, he's doing this.
Yeah. Right after the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's a really good example of, to understand this passage, have we looked at the book of Joel? Have we looked at David and what, you know, what was David all about? What was his life about? And God choosing him to be, you know, to be the king, and everything that he did. So, you know, as we talked about many times on the show, how important it is to understand and to study the whole Bible, the whole of the Word of God, the Old Testament as well, that we can understand what's Peter talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this cut them to the heart? Because he said they knew who David was. They knew David.
Yeah.
And they knew the prophecy in the book of Joel.
Exactly.
You know, because they went to synagogue. They would have heard these proclaimed from the scrolls.
Yes. And these men that were there, we know, are faithful, observant Jews, because they're doing the pilgrimage thing for Shavuot, Pentecost.
Exactly.
These guys, I mean, some of them came from Rome. Some of them came from Asia Minor. Some of them came from all these places that are listed.
Yeah.
Which didn't mean like going to the airport and jumping on a plane and landing at the airport in Tel Aviv. This was like a journey to get there. So these people were observant and they were serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Peter starts preaching, they're listening.
It would take them days to get there.
Yeah, and they knew that the Messiah was the son of David. And Peter says, you know, the son of David's alive. Death can't hold him. David's over here in the tomb, but the son of David is alive.
Yeah.
And they, you know, he's been raised. And that David, you know, foresees these things, because David's quite a prophet through the Psalms as well. And David foresees these things. You know, he talks about how his soul's not going to go in another world. You know, he's going to be saved. there's, you know, he talks concerning the resurrection of the Christ, he says. You know, God raised him up, and we're witnesses to this, and that now he's exalted. And interestingly, too, it says that this is going to be to people far off, not just to you people. It's going to be for people far off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people in Independence, Ohio, people in Youngstown, Ohio.
In Youngstown?
Yes.
Wow.
People in Sacramento, California, this is for them too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are, because this message is not just going to be for you that are here in Jerusalem today doing the Pentecost holiday. This is going to be for people far off.
You
this
know, that,
message is going to go from here, but it's going to go all these other places.
And that fulfills what Jesus says. I have another flock.
Yeah.
And there'll be one fold and one shepherd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're going to be impacted all over the world by the same message that they're hearing now,
mm-hmm,
through our friend Peter, who's now so filled with the Spirit. Now, if you read Peter from now until we don't hear about him anymore, he's not the same Peter that was bumbling around in Galilee.
Right.
He's preaching, he's teaching, he's writing, and finally martyred,
mm-hmm,
because now he's a different Peter.
Right.
He's been radically transformed by the Spirit. And those of you that have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit have experienced a new Pentecost in that sense. Know that after it happened, you're not the same as you were before.
Right.
And yeah, that you're a different person.
You're a different person because you're immersed into, and you know, if you think about what does baptism mean? What does it mean to be baptized?
Mm-hmm.
It means to be immersed into or dunked into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about, and from a theological perspective, the Holy Spirit is really the crossfire of love that exists between the Father and the Son. And if you can picture this love just emanating from the Father and the Son, and it, you know, let's say you put it into a pool, and there's this, you know, the Holy Spirit just fills up this pool, and you're immersed into this pool,
mm-hmm,
and you come out in just filled with God's love and mercy and grace and the fire, mm-hmm, of the Holy Spirit. That immersion into God's love,
mm-hmm,
is what transforms the heart,
yeah,
and the mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, darkness becomes light, and we become a disciple and a child of God, crying out, Abba, Father, through the Spirit, because now we can approach the throne of grace,
mm,
and mercy, because the blood of the Lamb has saved us.
Ooh.
He's paid for us the debt,
wow,
that we owe.
That's awesome. Woof. Whoa. Right in time for the first break.
Already?
That was awesome.
Wow.
Wow. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can find a lot of stuff there, including radio shows. We'll be back in just a minute.
You rule the oceans and the seas. Subdue the storm-tossed waves for me. God, you are awesome. All of heaven declares your name. Wondrous beauty, your majesty. God, you are awesome. Who can compare? Who can compare to your great love? None can compare, none can compare to all you've done.
Come. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
I love that song.
That's awesome. Yeah.
What's that from?
Let me think.
Who sings that?
Paul Wilbur.
Paul Wilbur.
It's Your Great Name.
Your Great Name. Can we get that? Can I get that?
Go on wilburministries.com and order Your Great Name.
Okay.
Order some other stuff,
I'm
going to
do that. Can I go do that now? We'll come back? Or
yeah,
should we finish the show first?
Here, you can use my computer.
Okay.
No, Paul Wilbur's the only person who gets free advertising on the show. Well, actually, he's the only advertising on the show. It's free. That's okay, because he's going out to the nations and
amen,
preaching
brother.
The message.
Yeah, he is.
Woof. Anyway. Wow, you ended up that last segment with an awesome...
Well, that was a spirit of work.
That's for sure. Steve doesn't usually talk like that. No, just kidding. Just like, you know, I may suddenly start playing minor chords. I mean, I don't know. Anything can happen now.
With the spirit, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. So Peter, you know, we were talking during the break, and, you know, we'll have Steve comment on that Peter is different now, and he understands things he didn't understand before. And the things that Jesus told him over the 3 years are probably all coming to mind, but not in like a jumble of, you know, head swimming kind of thing, in a very orderly way.
And the Spirit is bringing this to him in an orderly fashion.
Yeah.
That he can proclaim it and that people are going to receive it.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, they're going to take it in and digest it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for... four or five shows, well, besides last week on the Feast of Pentecost, we were talking about the abundant life.
Yeah.
I came that you might have life and have it to the full.
Yeah.
Have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
What Peter's experiencing here in the Spirit is the abundance of life in God.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spirit is pouring out wisdom and knowledge to him to speak to those who are thirsty, that they're going to be brought into the kingdom and they too are going to have eternal life. They're going to share in the abundance of God's life, that life with God.
Yeah.
So it's a fulfillment of what Jesus spoke about in John 10:10. It's a fulfillment of Jesus telling them, but wait here, I have to ascend. If I don't ascend, then the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will not come.
Yes.
And it's better that I ascend, that the Spirit does come, because he's going to remind you of everything that I taught you.
Right.
And you're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, in witnessing, you know, we talk about evangelization. You know, we've talked about the new evangelization sometimes, in conversations off air. And, you know, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. What does that mean? What does the new evangelization mean? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to proclaim the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about bringing in a harvest of souls for the kingdom. I don't know how many people God has me plan to bring into the kingdom, you know, how he's going to use me in that manner, but I do know that I'm to be ready or available to him, that if I need to speak a word to somebody, I'm available to them to do that. You know, Peter brought in a lot of people.
Right.
Some people are going to reach more people than others. But the purpose or the main thing is that life in the Spirit is going to, you're going to be available, that God can use you no matter where you're at.
Amen.
In everyday life.
Yes. Peter impacted 3,000 people. In the first 15 minutes that he was preaching.
Yeah.
You know, you may impact one or two people a day or one or two people a week or one person your whole life.
But they're all important.
And it's all an advancement of the kingdom, and it's all through the Spirit.
Yeah.
You have to be open to the Spirit, docile to what the Spirit wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to show you who to talk to.
Right.
Who to listen to, who to approach.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very important. And because, as we talked about last week, the original holiday of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, was a harvest feast for the big harvest, the wheat harvest.
Yes.
You know, it's indispensable in the harvest.
Right.
You know, we live in a time of the end time harvest. I mean, the end time, of course, started when Jesus came.
Right.
You know, we've been in the end times for a while. And now most people you talk to will say, well, I think we're in the end of the end times. And I don't think any Christian seriously believes that Jesus will come back in another 2,000 years. I think everybody thinks it's going to be soon.
Right.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. It could be tonight. It could be before the show's over. It could be tomorrow morning at 7:30. I mean, we don't know when it's going to be.
Right.
But we know there may not be time left. We don't know how much time's left, whether there's a lot of time left. All we know is we're supposed to be bringing in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few.
Right.
And the workers are getting fewer all the time,
mm-hmm.
because the generation we live in has sunk into a darkness and a falling away from faith and
mm-hmm.
falling away from the rock that they used to stand on.
Yeah.
And even at this time of the first Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, he told them, be saved from this perverse generation.
Yeah.
A perverse generation. Imagine if he was here now. What do we think of this generation?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about perverse. You know, people out there need to be safe from this perverse generation that's going on now.
Yeah.
And we're the ones that have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen by itself. We're the ones that have to do it.
Right.
And this is the whole point of the harvest, the big harvest.
Right.
And whether Jesus comes back tonight or 50 years from now, this is the end time harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones who have to be the workers in the fields.
And, you know, as you're saying that, what comes to mind is in John 7, where Jesus says, on that last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Mm. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Mm.
Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Yeah.
So Jesus is prophesying about mm-hmm. these rivers of living water that are going to flow from
mm-hmm.
those who believe,
yes.
those who the Spirit's been poured out upon.
Yes.
And that's what's happening to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to every believer
mm-hmm.
who is baptized in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Because out of our heart is to flow that river of living water that flows from the throne of God.
Right.
Because we're going to speak the word of God to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an awesome responsibility not to be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Because our words do impact people around us. And, you know, everybody's going to give an account for what they say and, you know, what they say and do. But then, you know, Paul's talking about, like in Romans, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
That we can't keep all the law. If you transgress one part of it, you transgress the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit gives life and gives us life to the full.
Exactly.
That we then go out and proclaim what God's done for us.
Yes.
And I think in many ways, if I proclaim the gospel, but I'm not doing it with a heart for that person in front of me,
mm.
then I'm a clashing gong or a clanking mm. cymbal, like St. Paul says.
Yes.
You know, because I can go out and preach all the scripture I want,
mm-hmm.
and I can preach it in a condemnation or a judgmental way, and I'm just a bunch of noise.
Yeah.
But if I'm proclaiming God loves you, and God's mercy and grace is in an abundance for you to receive, you know, there's a whole difference in my attitude towards the person that I'm preaching to, and I have to see that person through God's eyes. In love,
mm-hmm.
because without love, and this is why St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, because without love, you're just a bunch of noise. You're just making a bunch of noise. And without love, anything that you do, it's not going to remain.
Yeah.
It's going to come to nothing.
That's right. Exactly right. That's yeah. right. And this is another way we see the Spirit flowing through us, because, you know, if there's things that prevent the Spirit flowing through us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of things. I mean, we have this human nature. You know, we want to be self-reliant. We want to be self-sufficient. You know, we have a certain amount of pride. We want to be independent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And even people in ministry. And, you know, we won't get into that, but Stephen and I have had a lot of experience along these lines where someone who is in ministry, who is doing the work of the Lord, that says, hey, this is how we do things around here. Mm-hmm. This is what we do here. This is, you know, and that's not that that's all prideful, but there's a certain amount of pride of this is my ministry.
Yeah.
And I do this like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't like this, don't come here anymore. And these things go on, and these things are that can block the free flow of the Spirit. And Peter didn't have that problem because he was just kind of like, you know, going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why he's able to do this. And this is why Paul is able to do this, because Paul says, hey, I don't even live anymore. It's Christ that lives in me.
Yeah.
And I'll do what the Spirit wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though Paul was very intelligent, even though he was prideful in a lot of ways, even though the things he wanted to do, he didn't do, the things he didn't want to do, he kept on doing, he was open to where the Spirit led him.
Yes.
To no matter what hardships he had to do. You know, as he said, I'm all things to all people in order to save some. He wanted to save people.
Yeah.
And we have to be that way in terms of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it in love, as you say. You can't do it with condemnation and criticism. And, you know, when you walk into a coffee shop and go, you people are all sinners and you're all going to hell, and let me tell you something, everybody's going to say, get out of here, or, dude, shut up.
You could try you brood of vipers. That might work.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
But, you know, you have to do it in a way that you approach the person where they are,
mm-hmm.
understanding that they're a human being with dignity, and that you want to bring them into the kingdom.
Yeah.
You don't want to yell and condemn. You don't want to say, hey, listen, I know this stuff. You don't, so you better listen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they are created in the image and likeness,
yes.
of God, and we treat them with respect because they are created in the image,
yes.
and likeness of God. And, you know, what comes to mind is in Galatians 5, when Paul's talking to them about not being misled, because there was people saying that unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved.
Yeah.
But he goes on in verse 13, he says, for you were called for freedom, brothers. Do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow.
But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed. Beware that you are not consumed by one another.
Oh.
I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obviously immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissension, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envious of one another.
Wow.
I mean, wow.
That could be about seven shows.
That could be about seven shows. You know, from time to time, you and I both talk to people, and because we study the Old Testament, we talk to people about the law,
mm-hmm.
and we still keep the law. Is the law abolished? All these types of things. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law.
Yes.
But if you're talking about the law, you better be talking about love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not,
mm-hmm.
you're a clashing gong or a clanging cymbal.
Yes.
Because nobody can keep the law. Nobody's, you know, and that's, the law was there to show the way of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
that if you transgressed against this, sin and death was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the law of the Spirit is love.
Yes.
And we have to remember the Spirit is God, and God is love. And the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And that should be the first outcropping if we're baptized into the Spirit.
Yeah.
And do we allow the Spirit to transform our hearts and our lives that we act in accordance with the Spirit and not in accordance with the flesh? I mean, it's, you know, we're all human beings and we're all, you know, we still live in a fallen world. And we can get into that mode of, oh, this is mine, or react out of fear or panic and go, but that's my ministry. Well, God's entrusted you with a gift, but don't covet it. And don't block the Spirit from having someone else do something.
Yeah, that blocks the free flow of the Spirit.
It blocks the free,
because not only does the Spirit have to come into you, but he has to flow through you and out from you.
The Spirit's to, you know, our role is to evangelize others, to bring others into the kingdom, that they too are going to be workers in the kingdom.
Yes, amen.
Not servants of ours.
Yes, exactly. And this is how, you know, that's the fruit that we bear, and we have to have other people bear fruit. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the fig tree. Well, you know, if you're a beautiful fig tree with just lots of leaves and no figs, you know, the owner's going to come down and say, hey, it's no figs. We're going to cut this tree down.
Just taking up the nutrients.
Yeah. But he's just taking up the nutrients. I want figs.
Yeah.
You know, he wants figs. He wants fruit. And we don't, we produce that fruit if we're open to the Spirit. We let the Spirit lead us where he wants to lead us. Do what he wants us to do. Approach people how he wants us to approach people. And to be open to people around us that are also being influenced by the Spirit. Because then if our independence and pride and self-reliance get in the way of that, you know, ministry can be inhibited.
Greatly.
And this is how the body just keeps getting more and more divided up.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be greatly, it can greatly inhibit the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Peter and all those guys, you know, they had been with Jesus 3 years and they were like, well, you know, I don't, they probably sat around saying, well, we don't understand all the stuff he's talking about, but I mean, he seems to be a nice guy, but we don't understand what he's talking about. But now they understand what he's talking about. Because as he said, the Spirit is going to remind them of what he told them. And now they're empowered to say what he told them.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're to another break already.
Let's listen to Paul sing.
Yeah. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We've come a long way here from Pentecost morning.
Yeah, we have. Wow.
Well, during the break, Stephen was talking about an awesome reference in the book of Galatians. Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Yeah, this is chapter 6. Brothers, even if a person is caught in some transgression, you who are spiritual should correct that one in a gentle spirit, looking to yourself, so that you also may not be tempted.
Mm.
Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. And I'll read that again. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he is deluding himself.
Mm.
Each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason to boast with regard to himself alone and not with regard to someone else, for each will bear his own load.
Mm.
Wow. Paul, I mean, you know, Paul is impelled by the Spirit, and we have to understand Paul in order to understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He learned under Gamaliel.
No one was more zealous for the law than him.
No one was more zealous for the law than he was. And he stood by. He held the cloaks, the coats mm-hmm. of the people who stoned Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
He was persecuting the believers.
Yes.
And Jesus appears to him in a blinding light and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, why are you persecuting those who believe? Why are you persecuting me? Because if we're in Christ, if we're a believer, we are, you know, we're in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Jesus.
Who you're persecuting.
Whom you're persecuting. And Paul understands. And this is why, you know, this is why his letter to the Corinthians, his letter to the Galatians, he talks about love and about being a clashing gong or a clanging cymbal or a clashing gong. If you don't have love, bear with one another their burdens mm-hmm. and correct them with a gentle spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I think we've all done this. I've done this. I've tried to give correction to somebody, but it wasn't really in a gentle spirit.
Yeah.
And they get pretty ticked off.
Yeah.
And then you know,
or
then
someone says something to you, then you might get kind of ticked off.
Yeah. And then you're wondering, like, well, gosh, I was trying to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, what's their problem?
I'm just standing on the word.
You know, and our own human emotions get into it, and that's why we're to be tempered by the Spirit, that we have that self-control.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that gentleness that is a fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in the earlier part of Galatians here mm-hmm. in the chapter, the fifth chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And that's all part of being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it isn't just wind and fire and, you know, there's a lot. And, you know.
It can be a lot of hot air if you're not really in the Spirit, you know, as you're saying, such as all wind and fire.
Yeah, and when you talk about bearing fruit and bringing in a harvest,
yeah,
you know, this is a very important concept because you're not going to reach people with condemnation and shrill judgment. And even though what you're saying may be true, is true,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to reach them that way.
Right, right.
I mean, Jesus put up with people mocking him and condemning him and laughing at him and making mm-hmm. fun of him. And he didn't say, listen, if you say one more word, I'm going to zap you. he put up with it because mm-hmm. this is why he came. And it's an ultimate love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you.
Right.
And this is what it's based on.
Right.
And there's no law against love.
Right. And that's what Paul is saying. If we love, there's no condemnation
mm-hmm.
because love fulfills the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus was very stern with the religious leaders of the day.
Sure.
Because they were learned. Mm-hmm. They were instructing the people. And they, you know, he would tell them, you place heavy burdens upon them and you don't lift a finger to help them.
Yeah.
But to the average person, he didn't say, you know, what was his response to the average person? Usually there was an invitation. Mm-hmm. Come and follow me, or pick up your mat and go.
Mm-hmm.
The person had to respond to what he was saying,
mm-hmm.
and they were healed. You know, go, your faith has saved you.
Yes.
You know, the woman caught in adultery. Where's your accusers? Mm-hmm. They've all gone. Neither do I accuse you.
Yeah.
He didn't go, well, you know what? They had a real right to be here to want to stone you because you did this, this, this. Blah, blah, blah. He didn't say any of that. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything to Peter except, do you love me?
Yeah.
And, you know, as we preach the word and as we teach here, you know, a lot of times what we're teaching convicts my own heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Because I, you know, I tend to think, man, I get so much out of what's being said and what the Lord's giving us to talk about that, you know, how can it not impact me?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that it impacts someone who's listening.
Yes. Yeah. And these are all important aspects of being filled with the Spirit, because left to our own devices, we don't do that. Left to our own devices, we want to go judge that person.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go criticize that person.
Yeah.
We want to go tell that person, I'm right, you're wrong. Because that's our natural humanity to do that. But the Spirit tempers that. And, oh no, it's already over.
Oh.
I still have more stuff.
There's another week.
Yeah, there's another week. We'll be back in another week.
Unless the Lord comes back during the middle of the week, we'll have another show.
And that would be okay too.
That would be okay too.
Yeah, well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we encourage you to be filled with the Spirit and just preach the gospel in the gentleness of God's love. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.